Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Lamed Zayin. We're going to begin at the two dots about a third of the way down, Lamed Zayin Omad Aleph. We quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Sothek ben, now the Girsa that we have is ben Tesha, but it really was ben Tisha in the Mishnah of Ahule. So we're again dealing here with a situation where we're unsure as to who the father is of this child. The mother had remarried within the three-month period of time, the Havchana period of time. She wasn't supposed to. Now the question is, when she had Yibam, is she actually carrying the child from her first husband and then wasn't allowed to undergo Yibam? And in that situation, every time she lives with her new husband through Yibam, it's over an Isser of Kares, and she has to get divorced from him. Or do we say no? In fact, her first husband, Reuven, did not have any children, and this child is a pregnancy from the new husband, and therefore that's a regular case of Yibam. So that's the Suffolk situation. We don't know whether he is a nine-month child from the first husband, Reuven, who passed away, and supposedly she died childless from him, but maybe not, or she has 7-month pregnancy from the new husband. Again, we had mentioned previously several times that there is a perfectly viable 7-month cycle or pregnancy and a 9-month cycle. Somewhat paradoxically, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us a number of places that an 8-month pregnancy, that's a premature baby, is not viable, but paradoxically, a 7-month or a 9-month pregnancy is viable. So in this situation, we have a suffix. What is the status of this child? So in the Mishnah, we said that you must divorce her out of suffix. Shimon has taken through Yibam Reuven's wife, the widow, Rachel, and he has to divorce her. And we said in the Mishnah as well that the Vlad is definitely a kosher Vlad because we might have shown he's either a Vlad, a perfectly good child from Reuven, or he's a perfectly good child from Shimon. So the Vlad is perfectly good, but they have to bring an Asham Talui because maybe they, in fact, were over in Isser of Kares, and they can't bring a Chatzis because maybe they weren't, so he bring an Asham Talui in that situation. Okay, that's just a quick reminder of what the Mishnah had said. Now the Gemara says, Omli Rav Rav Nachman, Rav says to Rav Nachman, Leima Holich Acha Rov Noshim, the Rov Noshim Letisha Yodin. Why don't we apply the rule of the majority? And the majority of women have a 9-month pregnancy cycle. So when we don't know, is this a 9-month from the first husband, Reuven, or is it a 7-month from the second husband, Shimon, the one who did Yibam with her, so we should apply the principle of Rov and say that the majority of pregnancies are 9-month pregnancies, so therefore this child should be considered Vadai, a child of Reuven, the brother who passed away, and we should view it in this situation. And it's definitely the sin of Yibam with an Eishes Ach Shelo B'Mogu Mitzvah, and they should have to bring a Chatzis and not an Ashem Talui, and definitely have to get divorced, not just a Suffolk to get divorced. So that's what Rav asked to Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman responds, and he says, Amalei, Noshei Didon L'Shiva Yoldan. So Rav Nachman says, around here, the majority of women are giving birth after 7 months. So here there's no Rav. Rava says, really? So just because you have a little bit of an unusual situation, that applies to the rest of the women of the world? Amalei, Rava says to Rav Nachman, Noshe Dilchu, your women have a Ruba the Amma? Do they constitute the majority of the world? No, the majority of the women of the world are 9-month pregnancies, 9-month gestation, and you happen to have a 7-month gestation out there. It should be batel to the majority, and therefore we should view this child as a Vadai child of Ruvain. So that's what Rava says back to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman says back to Rava, Amalei, Hachi Kaimna, this is what I said. Rav Nashim Yoldon Letisha. The majority of women, in fact, are 9-month pregnancies. Umiyat L'Shiva, and there is a minority that gives birth after 7 months. However, V'chol Hayoledes Letisha, under normal circumstances, if a woman has a 9-month gestation, Ubra Nikar L'Shlish Yomel, a woman's pregnancy will be recognizable by 3 months' time. And in this situation, the woman had not had a recognizable pregnancy at 3 months' period of time, and therefore, Vizu, this woman, Rachel, Hoel, Velohukar, Ubra, Lishlish Yameha, Isra Le Ruva. And this woman, since it wasn't recognizable, so that ruins the majority, and therefore we can't follow the majority because there was another din here that she should have been visibly pregnant. Recognizable that she was pregnant after 3 months and she wasn't, so that rules the rove, and that's why we don't apply the rove over here. More questions, if that's true, if you're telling me, Ekal Hayoledes, Letisha, Uber Nikar, Lishlish Yameha, if under normal circumstances we say that by 3 months a woman's pregnancy is noticeable, it's recognizable, so then, ha, this case, this woman, Rachel, for the fact that me, Delo Hukar, she didn't have any recognizable evidence of pregnancy, so that should be proof that she is a 7-month gestation for the new husband. So this really is a child from Shimon, a 7-month child from Shimon, rather than a normal 9-month pregnancy from Reuven, because she didn't have recognizable features of pregnancy at 3 months, and most pregnancies are going to have that. So therefore, why don't we say now it's Vaday a 7-month pregnancy? So how do you answer that? Ela Ema. This is really the bottom line. Rov Hayoldos Letisha. Most women give birth at 9 months gestation. And most women, Ubrinikar Lishlishamea. And most women, we have two roves over here. The majority of women have a 9-month gestation, and the majority of women will be recognizable by 3-month period of time. And here, you have a problem. Vahaymi de lo hukar Lishlishamea. Isla Re Ruba. And here, from the fact that she wasn't recognizable of being pregnant after the 3 months, so that ruins the rove, and therefore we don't have either rove. We don't have the rove of 9 months, we don't have the rove of the pregnancy being recognizable at 3 months, and therefore that's why it's a suffix in our Mishnah, whether she's really from 9 months from the first husband or 7 months from the second husband, and that's why she brings an Ashel Tadlui. We don't have a rove to support either situation. Now bring down the following Braisa, Tana Rabbanon. Rishon, Royal Yos Kohen Gadol. In our situation over here, again, Reuven dies, his wife Rachel falls even to Shimon, Shimon does even with her, but then we find out that she's pregnant, and she gives birth. Now, we don't know, was it, again, 9 months from Reuven, or is it 7 months from Shimon? So in this situation, the child that's born is perfectly fit to be a Kohen Gadol. Rishon, Royal Yos Kohen Gadol. He could even grow up to be the Kohen Gadol if he was a Kohen, obviously. Now, we did have a din derabbanon that we learn elsewhere that says that the Kohen, if he's going to be the Kohen Gadol, should really know who his father is. It's not enough to say he's Vaday a Kohen, but he has to know who his definitive father is. But that's a din derabbanon. So on a deraisa level, this Kohen, Sofek 9 months to the first husband, Reuven, or he's Sofek 7 months from the second husband, the Yavam, Shimon, so he's perfectly eligible to be a Kohen Gadol. However, the braisa says, but Visheni, the second child, should they stay married and have a second child, so now this child is definitely his father is Shimon, but what's his status? The Sheni is Mamzer Misofek. What this Braisa tells us is that maybe this child is a valid child to the second husband because the first husband, Reuven, was not the father of the first child, and it really was through Yibam that the first child, the Bechor, over here was born, so it's really from Shimon, and then the second child is a regular child of Shimon, and it's perfectly good. So maybe he's a perfectly good son. However, on the other hand, maybe he's not. Maybe the first child was really a 9-month pregnancy from Reuven, the first husband, and therefore they weren't allowed to stay married, and now this second child that Rachel has with Shimon is in fact a mamzer. So we don't know. And therefore, this situation is the Sheni is a mamzer misofik, which we'll define in a moment what the halachic ramifications are of that. A machlokis abayin rava. On the other hand, that's the Tanakam's opinion. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says in this braisa, Omer, ein mamzer misofik. No, we don't call him a mamzer al sofik. My comment. What is this braisa telling us? What is the machlokis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Here I have attached a handout, which I hope will make it a little bit easier for you to follow this Gemara. It's not a very difficult Gemara, but sometimes having it right in front of you will make it a little bit easier for you to follow. So if you look at my handout, so it says that we have the Braisa telling us that the Tanakama's opinion, we call him a Mamzer Misofek. The second child that's born is a Mamzer Misofek, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Ein Mamzer Misofek. So those are the two opinions, but what does that mean? So we have a Machlokas, Abai and Rava. Abai and Rava say the exact opposite of each other. So first we have Abaya's opinion. Each of them, Abaya and Rav, is going to have to explain what their opinion is of the Tanakama and what their opinion is of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So Abaya says, Amar Abaya, Hochachom, this is where you have to understand the Braisa. The machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is as follows. Rishon, everybody agrees, there's no machlokas between Abaya and Rav. Everybody agrees that the first child that's born is either a Sofek, 9-month child to Reuven, or a 7-month child to Shimon, so he has absolutely Mimanushach, no problems. Whichever one he is, it's a perfectly valid lineage. Hachi Kamar, Rishon, Royal Yos Kohen Gadol. The first child that's born from this marriage is either a valid child of Reuven or a valid child of Shimon, and they're both Kohanim, the two brothers are Kohanim, so he could grow up to be the Kohen Gadol. No problem. Everybody agrees to that. The machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is about the second child that's born, the Sheni. So the lashon that the Tanakama uses is the Sheni was a Sufik Mamzer. Mamzer misofik. What does that mean? The Sheni Sofik Mamzer, the Usur b'mamzeres. And a sopik mamzer, according to the Tanakhama, is forbidden to marry a vadai mamzeres, because maybe he's not a mamzer, and only a mamzer can marry another mamzeres. But otherwise, a mamzer is also to vote yovel lakol. And maybe the second child is really a legitimate second child of Shimon. The first child was really Shimon's child, so the second child is really Shimon's child, and therefore it's absolutely kosher of lot. And therefore he would not be allowed to marry a mamzeres al sofek, because maybe he's a perfectly valid child. Maybe he's not, so that's why he's a sofek mamzer. But the Tanakhama's opinion, going to Abaye, in this situation is osur b'mamzeres, as you can see circled in my diagram. So Rav Lezer ben Yaakov disagrees with that. Rav Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, ain't no sofek mamzer. He is not a sofek mamzer. What does that mean? The lashon that Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov said was ein mamzer misofek. That means ain't no sofek mamzer. We don't treat him as a sofek mamzer, and we treat him as a levadai mamzer. And as a result, umutor b'mamzeres. We don't view him as a sofek mamzer, but we in fact view him as a vadai mamzer lahalacha, and a vadai mamzer could go marry a mamzeres. So according to Abaye, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says mutor b'mamzeres. Tanakhama says also b'mamzeres, and Rav Lezer ben Yaakov says mutar b'mamzeres. That's Abaye's understanding of this brisa for the second child. Rava Pumfakert has the exact opposite opinion. Rava Amar Hachikomer, this say understand this brisa. Again, everybody agrees the first child is absolutely mimanushach, perfectly good, valid child. Rishon Roelios Kohen Gadol. Either, again, the first child is mimanushach, he's a perfectly kosher 9-month child to Reuven, or he's a perfectly kosher 7-month child to Shimon. He's either one or the other. Both would be perfectly fine to be the Kohen Gadol. They have a region where Leo's Kohen Gadol. Again, no machlokas on that. That's clear and simple. Here, however, Rava says the second child, Husheini, is mamzer vadai misofek. He says that the opinion of the Tanakhama, which we had said before, was mamzer misofek, so that is to be understood as a mamzer vadai. He's treated as a vadai mamzer, albeit misofek. Misofek. Husheini is a mamzer vadai, but misofek. But the opinion of the Tanakhama here is exactly, according to Rava, what Abaye's opinion was for Elazar and Yaakov. Rava says, the Tanakhama holds that he's a mamzer vadai misofeg, and therefore mutter b'mamzeres. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama, according to Rava. Exactly the opposite of Abaye. Again, you see it by Abaye, he says, also b'mamzeres, and Rava says, the Tanakhama holds it's mutter b'mamzeres. And again, vice versa. Elazar and Yaakov, Omer, according to Rava, then we say, ein vadei mamzer, when Rav Lezer ben Yaakov says, ein mamzer misofek, it says, ein vadei mamzer misofek. We don't consider this second child to be born as a vadei mamzer. Elo, sofek mamzer. He's a sofek mamzer. And a sofek mamzer also be mamzeres. And therefore, according to Rava, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov holds that you're also be mamzeres. Again, if you look at the circle parts of my diagram, you clearly see that Abaye and Rava have exactly a opposite shittos. Again, Abaye says the Tanagamo is also b'mamzeres, and Rav Lezer ben Yaakov says it's mutar b'mamzeres, and Rava says the opposite. Rava says the Tanagamo holds mutar b'mamzeres, and Rav Lezer ben Yaakov says also b'mamzeres. What are they arguing about? Don't get confused with Rav Lezer ben Yaakov and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar here is another Tana. This is the Tana Rabbi Elazar, who says in the following Mishnah, Ditznan, this is a Mishnah in Kiddushin, he says, Rabbi Elazar Omer, again, the Tana Rabbi Elazar is not the Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar holds, Vadoin b'vadoin mutter, a mamzer who's a definite mamzer, and is allowed to go marry a woman who's a definite mamzeris. A vadai mamzer is allowed to go and marry a vadai mamzeris. However, Vadoin b'sveikon, one is a definite mamzer, and the other one's a sofek mamzeres. Or the other way around, sveikon, a sofek mamzer, the vadoin with a vadai mamzeres, or sofek b'sveikon, they're both sveikos. So, maybe or maybe not, the man and the woman are mamzer, osur. According to Rabbi Elazar, Tana in this brisa, in Kiddushin, so only a vadai mamzer can marry a vadai mamzeres. Any of the sveikos situations, whether one is a sofek and the other is a vadai, either way, or whether they're both sveikos, osur, you're not allowed to go and marry, because maybe they're not a mamzer or a mamzeres, and therefore they would be marrying into the kahal when they're not allowed to. What are these sveikos? Ve'eluhein sveikot. So the Mishnah in Kiddushin continues to tell us what these sofek situations are. So the Rashis are a little bit down later on, and he'll define shesuki v'asufi v'kusi. What are these? So Rashi, a little bit further down, says shesuki is shekori aviv. He calls out, dad, dad, And his mother says, shush, v'imo mishas koso. That's a shtuki, silent. We don't know who your father is, or it's an unknown, and therefore you have to be silent to say who your father is, because, again, maybe it was an illicit relationship that you were born from. She's not sure who the father is, and therefore we are silencing him when he calls out for his father. That's a shesuki. So this is a suffix, mamza situation. Vasufi, Rashi explains, shenesaf minashuk. This is the foundling. This is the baby that's found on the doorstep. Ubekulu ikol amechash. In both of these situations, we have to be concerned. Shema bipasul nisabra. Maybe the parents of this child are in fact of improper lineage, and therefore it's a Sophic mamza situation. And likewise, a kusi. The kusim again were the Samaritans, and they were gere arayos. They were an aleph that the lions came and attacked them, and they said we better convert to the god of this country. When Sanhedrin brought them over here from the town city of Kuta, so that's why they're called Kutim. He brought people over from one place when he conquered them to another place, so they'd be less likely to rebel. So these Kutim became Jews, but they were ain makvid, Rashi said, al kiddushin kesef v'shtar. They weren't medakdek, they weren't careful. If a woman got married with kesef v'shtar, they said, nah, she's not really married. It's only through consummating the marriage that you're really married. So if a woman got married with kesef v'shtar, the less like Gzei Rishava. They didn't hold Gzei Rishava, the famous Gzei Rishava from Stei Ephron Achiti, Kicha Kicha. And therefore, Achim Mekadesh, Chad Minseva Le'idach. So therefore, even though a woman might have gotten kiddushin with kesef or shtar, they wouldn't get a divorce and they'd go marry somebody else. So this is obviously an adulterous situation, but it's a suffek adulterous situation. And therefore, Rashi says, lefikoch, all of these situations, the shtuki, asufi, and the kusi, are lefikoch kulon suffek mamzerim heim. They're possible mamzerim, not definite. And therefore, we have to be concerned in each of these situations. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar in this brisa holds that only the vadai marriage is acceptable because they're definitely mamzerim. But in any of the situations where one of them is a suffolk, or even if both of them are a suffolk, you can't marry. So that's the opinion of the Tana, Rabbi Elazar. How do we paskin? Rav Yehuda says the name of Rab. The halacha is ki Rabbi Elazar. We paskin over here that the suffolks can't marry each other. Only the vadai mamzer can marry the vadai mamzeris. That's the opinion that Rav Yehuda related over from his Rebbe Rab. If the Rab died, Rav Yehuda went to learn by Shmuel. And we find this many times in the Gemara. Ki amrise kamei de Shmuel, when he would tell over the Torah from Rav to Shmuel, so Shmuel didn't always agree. So Amali, so when Rav Yehuda told a statement that Rav had said that we pass it like Rabbi Elazar, that only the Vatai Mamzer can marry the Vatai Mamzeris, but all the Sophic situations cannot marry, so Shmuel didn't like that. Shmuel told Rav Yehuda, Amali, Rav Yehuda's talking, he's relating this story, and said, I told this over to Shmuel, and Shmuel responded to me, Hillel Shana, that the great Tana Hillel said that there are Sari Yuchs and Olami Bavel. There are 10 categories of people, their genealogy, that came up with Bavel to Eretz Yisrael at the time of Ezra, when he brought back, at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, he brought back the people, so he separated out the lineages so we would know for certain in Eretz Yisrael who the people were. And as we'll see in this statement from Hillel, he says the 10 categories, everybody's allowed to marry the category that's next to them. Not all 10 can marry all 10, but in the categories that are next to them, as we'll see from Rashi, you're allowed to marry. So the 10 categories are Kohane, Levi'e, V'Yisrael. The first three are Kohanim, Levi'im, Yisrael, Kosher, Kohanim, Kosher, Levi'im, Kosher, Yisraelim. Then you have Chalale. These are children of a Kohen from a prohibited marriage. Let's say a Kohen married a Grusha. So those children are Chalolim. They're apostle of Kohens. Now you have Geire. You have people that converted. They were Geirim. The next category is Charure. These are an Eved Kenani that was freed, and now he becomes a full-fledged Yid when he is freed from his master. So that's the first six. Then the seventh one is Mamzeri. These are Vadai Mamzerim. Then you have Nesine. These are the Nesinim. This is from, Rashi reminds us, from the time of the Givonim. Shiniskayu b'mei Yoshua ba'arma. They tricked Yoshua into saying that they weren't from the Zion Ammos of Eretz Yisrael. They said they're from a faraway country. V'yesh b'hen tzad ad. So they were treated a little bit like slaves, as it says in the Pasuk in Yoshua, by yit name Yoshua, l'chot ve'etzim v'shoa ve'mayim lo'ida. So they were a little bit like slaves, and they weren't allowed to marry into the Kahal. So that's the eighth category. Then you have the ninth and tenth category are the Shesuke and the Asufe, which we mentioned before. The Shesuke is we don't know who the father is. The mother silences the child every time he calls out, is that my daddy? Is that my daddy? And Asufe is the foundling. We don't know who his mother or his father is. And then in this brisa, Hillel says, V'chulon mutarim lovo ze bazeh. Hillel says they're all allowed to marry each other. Now, it doesn't mean all 10 can marry all 10. What it means is, as Rashi tells us in Tibur HaMaslu, V'chulam Mutarim, Lo, Zebazeh, so it can't be talking about you're allowed to marry every category, but it means that a suffix He's allowed to marry a Vadai in these different categories. We'll see in a moment which ones yes. And certainly, a Suffolk can marry a Suffolk. If a Suffolk can marry a Vadai, then certainly a Suffolk can marry another Suffolk. And he says, Hainu Mishkachas, I'm still reading from Rashi and Tibra Masko, Kula Mutarim. And he says, Hainu Mishkachas, Le Kula Mutarim Zeh Bezeh, in the following way. Kohanim, Levim, the Yisraelim, they're allowed Mutarim Zeh Bezeh. They're allowed to marry each other. No problem. Kohen can marry a Levi Yisrael and vice versa. Levi the Yisrael, a Levi and a Yisrael, as well as Chalole, as well as a Pasul, a Kohen, the child that's a product of, let's say, Grusha and a Kohen, or Gere, or a convert, the Charure Avadim, or a freed Evet, Mishuchwarim, Charure is Avadim Mishuchwarim, so Mutarim Zeh Bezeh, they can all marry each other. And then the categories of Gere, the converts, the freed servants, Mamzeri, Vinesine, Vishuki, Vafsufi, all the rest of those that are mentioned in this Mishnah from the 10 categories, Mutarim Zeh Bezeh. They're allowed to go marry each other because the Kahal Gerim Lo Ikre Kahal, because the people who converted are also not called Kahal, and they can marry both into the Kahal, but they can also marry outside of the Kahal. And therefore, Lefikoch Mamzeri, Mutarim Behen. Therefore, this Brisa tells us that Mamzerim would be allowed to marry these Gerim, and this can be found in the Gemara in Kedushin in detail. Now, what do we see over here? From Vehulun Mutarim Lavo Zeh Bezeh. Hillel's opinion is, and you can see this in my chart, Safek can marry a Vadai or a Safek. That's what you clearly see from Hillel. So how, Shmuel asks Rav Yehuda, can you tell me that Rav paskins that a Safek cannot marry another Safek, a Safek cannot marry a Vadai? That goes against Hillel. So that's the question that Shmuel has on Rav. V'at amris halachik Rabbi Elazar, and you're saying that we pass it like Rabbi Elazar? No, we pass it like Hillel, over Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara says, let's now line up Abaye and Rava to actually parallel this machlokas between Hillel and Rabbi Elazar. The machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And look at my sheet, we'll see it outside first. We want to say that Shmuel, who we just said holds like Hillel, and therefore he holds that the version of Abaye is correct, because that's, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, mutar b'mamzeres, a Suffolk is mutar to marry. Now, we want to always paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and Shmuel says we also want to paskin like Hillel. So you have to align these two shittos, and Abaye aligns them, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, his mishnayos are kav v'noki. Kav means a small amount. You can see this on my sheet at the bottom. He didn't paskin in a lot of places. A kav is a small measure, but wherever he paskined, he winnowed very, very well. It's very, very clean. So therefore, we always want to paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So here, when Abaye says that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is matering a Suffolk with a Suffolk or a Suffolk with a Vadai, that's in accord also with Shmuel's opinion of Hillel. And therefore, Shmuel aligns Abaye's understanding of Elazar ben Yaakov with Hillel. And on the other hand, Rav, he says, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar, not like Hillel. And therefore, since we also want to paskin that Rav holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so here you have to say that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that you're also to have a Suffolk, marry Suffolk, just like Rabbi Elazar said. And therefore, Rav aligns Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and Shmuel aligns Hillel and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And therefore, Shmuel holds like Abaye, and Rava holds like Rav. Now let's see that inside. Amari says, Abaye sova lo kishmuel. Abaye obviously must hold like Shmuel, because he holds the Omar halacha kihilo, and therefore, umuke lo Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, alibi the hilchos. So we want Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov to come out like the halacha lemaisa, which is like Hilo. Kihechi, the lo tikshi, hilchos ha-hilchos, because we would have here two seemingly contrasting halachas, that we pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and we pass like Hilo. Therefore, he would like those two to align up, which is how Shmuel did it, and Abaye did it. Whereas Rava says, Rava saw Malachi Rabbi Rav. He says, we pass him like Rav, not like Hillel, Amar Malachi Rabbi Elazar. And therefore, he has to align up Rabbi Elazar with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Umukilo de Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Aliba de Hilchasa. You want that to be the way we pass him, and that's going to be like Rabbi Elazar, that this situation, Rava holds that a Suffolk is not allowed to marry another Suffolk, or a Suffolk is not allowed to marry a Vadai. And therefore, Moke La Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Aliba the Hilchasa, in order that Kihechi the Lo Tikshi, that we shouldn't have a problem. We turn to Lamazayin Amidays of Hilchasa Hilchasa. So we shouldn't have a problem. One place we say we pass like Rabbi Elazar, and the other place we say we pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. They're two different opinions. You have Hilchasa Hilchasa. So therefore, he has to align those opinions the way he did. Abaya aligns them the way he did, and Rava aligns them the way he did. And you can see this from my sheet. Hopefully, it makes it a little bit easier for you to follow. We go right in the Gemara. Amar Abaya. Abaya says, "Mino amina lo. Where do I get my sheet? The called Sveiko Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov kivadai mashridle. According to Abaya, any suffix is considered like a vadai. According to Abaya's understanding of Elazar ben Yaakov, and a suffix is allowed to marry a vadai, or a vadai is allowed to marry a suffix can marry a suffix. Where do I get this from? So the called Sveiko Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov kivadai mashridle. We treat a suffix as if it was a vadai and can marry a mamzeris." So in this situation, because the Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer, Harei Shebo al Noshim Harbe, Rachmona Lislan, if a man had relations with many different women, he can't say which ones he possibly impregnated. There are many women that he had relations with, and he doesn't know which ones were pregnant from his relations with them. Likewise, a woman, a woman had relations with many men, now she's pregnant, she's not sure who the father is. See, the both suffix situations. They know Yadas, Me'ezim, Hin Kibla. She doesn't know which one she got the seed. Kibla means she received the zera from him, as Rashi says, Nisabra. She doesn't know which one actually made her pregnant. So therefore, it's a suffix situation. Nimtza Ab Noseis Bito. You could have Rachmana Lasan, a terrible calamity arise from this, because we don't know who the lineage of the child is. And it could turn out, Nimtza Ab Noseis Bito. In fact, the father can marry his daughter, because he didn't realize that was his daughter. Ach Noseis Achoso, or brother can marry his sister, because they didn't realize that they were related to each other. And as a result, Nismale kol olam kula mamzerim. The entire world will be filled Rachmona Lusan with the mamzerim. And on this, the pasuk says, "V'alzeh nemar umaloh oret zima," that the world will be filled over here with zima, with adultery, with immorality. Therefore, you see, in this situation, as Rashi points out in Dibra Masav, Nismale kol olam kula mamzerim, misafek karul lehem mamzerim. Even a suffix situation is called a mamzer. All of these are suffix situations. And he's mutter b'mamzeres. You see that you're allowed to go and get married here. That's why we have a concern that a father would marry a child, or a brother would marry a sister. V'nismale kol olam kula mamzerim. So you see that it's technically allowed. And the lashon Rashi says here is that it's called vaday mamzerim, karlu mamzerim. Then mal haaretz zima is talking about kulo mamzerim. So he says, you see from here that Blessed Ben Yaakov's opinion is that even a suffix mamzer is called a vadai mamzer. And that goes in accord with Abaye's understanding of Blessed Ben Yaakov, that they're considered over here, when he says, ein mamzer misafik, we don't consider them a suffix, we consider them a vadai mamzer, and could marry, all of these could marry each other. A suffix mamzer could marry a vadai mamzer, and vice versa, or even a suffix could marry a suffix. That's the way Abaye understands this brisa of Blessed Ben Yaakov. Rav obviously understands it differently. When he says, he understands it's Hachikamah. Rav Amar Lo Hachikamah, this is the way you understand it. Zu Mahi, the word Zima is like a nutricone. It's like an abbreviation for the word Zu Mahi. Zima stands for this child. Mahi, what is its halachic status? And since we don't know, so Rashi tells us over here, Zu Mahi is a lotion of Sophic. Dibra Masu Zu Mahi, so therefore, the opinion of Rava is that it is a suffix, and Rava's opinion is that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov does not allow a suffix to go marry a vadai, or vice versa. Now, Yasser Akein Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Furthermore, the Braisa says that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov held the following: Lo Yisa Adam Isha B'Vdina Zu. A person shouldn't get married to a woman in New York, V'Yelech V'Yisa Isha B'Vdina Charis, and go get married to a woman in Paris at the same time. He shouldn't have two wives living in different cities. Why not? Because those wives and their children aren't going to know the other family. Shami is Davgus Elazar. So very nice Erlecha family living in New York, a very nice Erlecha family living in Paris, and somebody's going to set up a shidduch between them. They go to YU Connects, they say, wow, what a nice match, and you end up having a brother marrying a sister, Rachmona Litzlan. Shami is Davgu Ze Lozet. And unintentionally, you can have a brother marrying a sister, Rachmona Litzlan. So that's an additional thing that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says. Now, is this really so? Ini v'ha rav ki ikla l'dar d'shir. Are you telling me that you're not allowed to go and marry a woman in a different city? You're only allowed to have your wife live in the same city as you. You can't have two wives in two different cities. Is that really true? That wasn't the practice of the great Gadol Rav. For Rav ki ikla l'dar d'shir, when Rav would go and visit the city of Dar d'shir, Machriz, we add the word Machriz, he would announce, and he would say, for Omar, Mon Havya. Now the Girsa that we have is Liyo Ma, but the Girsa that Rashi has is Liyo Me. Who would like to marry me for a couple of days? That's the way Rashi understands this. Rav was afraid that temptation would overcome him And therefore, he would get married in the city. So in case temptation overcame him, he would have a legitimate wife and he would have relations with the wife rather than not have a wife and Rahman al-Islam to lead to an Aveira. Now, Rav we're talking about over here. Who in the world would think that Rav would do this? So I mentioned this many times, that the greater the person, the greater the Yetzirah. And the Yetzirah would work on him and work on him and work on him, and this could possibly happen. So Rav did everything possible to prevent this. So he would get himself a second wife when he went to Dadashir. But that goes against what we just said. And likewise, Rav Nachman, the same thing. When he went to the city of Shankatziv, he would announce and say, who would like to marry me for a couple of days? Again, we have the Girsa for a day. And Rashi says it's for a couple of days. So you see, that goes against what Rav Elazar ben Yaakov said, that you shouldn't have wives in different cities. But here, Rav and Rav Nachman, they seem to have wives in different cities. So the word says, Shiny Rabbanon. These great rabbis, Rav and Rav Nachman, everybody would know their lineage. If they did have children, everybody would say, oh, that's the child of Rav. Oh, that's the child of Rav Nachman. So there's no chance that that child would end up marrying another child of Rav or Rav Nachman later on in life from a different city. Shiny Rabbanon, these rabbis are so great. The Pkiyash Mayu, their names are so well known. Everybody would know who the father is, and it wouldn't lead to a takal in this situation. Tosos points out in the top Tosos, and he says that if they did, Shimhaya Ira, Shabbat Eleven Isabra, if in fact they did have children, then they would bring them back to their houses. They had a child from this wife that was set up for Rav in Dardashir, or for Rav Nachman in Shinchatziv, so they would actually bring them back, or they would raise them in one city. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, my Rava says, how could this possibly be that Rav and Rav Nachman got married right away? Normally, when a woman gets a marriage proposal, so she's Pirsanida, we have to be concerned that she'll be Pirsanida and she'll have to wait 7 days. So, Tehua Linose, Vinispaisov, a woman is being asked to get married and she accepts. So, Tzricholesh, if she was Nakim, she has to have 7 clean days. We have to be concerned that she was Pirsanida. So how could Rav and Rav Nachman announce who would like to be my wife? Well, even if they said yes, they wouldn't be able to live with them. So the Gemara says, Rabbanon shluchayu havu mishadre umode luhu. So Rav and Rav Nachman would send their shlichim ahead of them before they'd go to Dardashir or Shinchatziv. So they would send their shluchim, they would send their shamish to go to the city, and 7 days before, and they would say, who would like to marry Rav when he comes here a week from now? Who would like to marry Rav Nachman when he comes here a week from now? And if any woman was willing, so then they would have a week to, if they were Pirsanida, a week to become Tahora. This, I believe, is the source of a custom, which, again, I think many Rabbanim are against, but is the source of the custom that the Chas and Kala don't see each other the 7 days before the wedding, that the Chiba, the desire that they would have for each other, the love that they have for each other, if they saw each other, maybe she would be Pirsanida, and therefore they separate. Again, many Rabbanim say that you don't have to do this, and again, if it's going to delay on the day of the wedding, the chuppah, and it's going to delay all the guests, so I heard from great Rabban, they said, the first action that this marriage has, that the Chosan and Kala are taking pictures and delaying everybody else from being the Sameach, the Chosan and Kala, that's improper, and it's better, I heard from many Rabbanim, that they should take the pictures together before the wedding, if that is necessary. In any event, there is a very common custom that the Chosan and Kala don't see each other for the 7 days before the marriage. I believe it's based upon this idea. So that's the first teretz that we have here, that the great Rav and the great Rav Nachman would stand ahead of Shaliach and would agree that the woman would be married to Rav, respectively, or Rav Nachman, and it would be 7 days before, and then they would be Pirsanida, they would become Tahora. Vibayisema, second teretz is, Lirabbanon, in the case of such great rabbis, Yehudei bi'amohu, d'miyachadei lehu. They didn't really need to consummate the marriage with these women. It's just the idea that they would have a wife that would would prevent them from Rachmana Litzlan committing an Aveira. And this is based upon the principle, the Omer Mar, Eino Doma Misha Yesh Lo Pas Basalo, Le Misha Ein Lo Pas Basalo. If a person has a wife, so then he's much less likely to do an Aveira. Even though, according to some, they wouldn't have been able to have relations with their wife, it wasn't the purpose, or that they weren't allowed to have relations with the wife if he didn't say that they came there 7 days beforehand, but just the knowledge that this wife would be permitted to them in a couple of days, or if they wish to, instead of just being miyachid them, they could actually have relations with them if they were tahora. So this is enough to prevent them from sinning. And therefore, somebody who has a wife, he has bread in his basket, or he could have relations with this woman, so he's going to be less tempted than somebody that doesn't have this, may have his yitzhara overtaken. Okay, very interesting and intriguing idea. Again, certainly not practiced today by anyone. Tana, we learn in the following brayso, Lesben Yaakov Omer, Lo Yisa Adam Ishto, V'Daita L'Garsha, a person shouldn't have marriage with a woman, but have in his mind to be megarisha. We had really learned previously that as soon as a person has in mind to be divorcing his wife, she's no longer entitled to the peros from her nirsei maluk, because he's intending to divorce her, and it's not proper. So what the Gemara is really saying over here is that when Rav or Rav Nachman went respectively to get these women, they told them beforehand, listen, this is a temporary marriage, it's only going to be for a couple of days. Are you agreeing to that? So Rav and Rav Nachman did not go against this principle of Rav Lezben Yaakov, because here, Rav Lezben Yaakov says, you can't do this without their knowledge. But Rav and Rav Nachman would tell these women, listen, this is only going to be a temporary marriage, are you interested? And they would say yes or not. So Rav Lezben Yaakov said, Lo yisa adam ishto v'daito ligarish, a man shouldn't marry a woman with the intention to divorce her right away. Again, both parties are agreeable, it's allowed. And Rav Lezben Yaakov says, you can't do this without that. Based upon the pasuk, this is a pasuk from Mishle where it tells us, "Al tachrosh al reyacha ro'ah hu yoshev levet tachitoch." Don't treat somebody in a way where they think that they're very comfortable, and in a way that's actually going to harm them. So that concludes this little discussion right now. And now we're going to have a whole bunch of cases where we're going to ask, what is the halachic status in regards to monetary matters regarding this Suffolk, this child? Again, the scenario that we have over here is Reuven died, what we think is childless. His wife Rachel falls to Yibum to Shimon. Shimon does Yibum with Rachel, and then they have a child. And it's unclear, is this a 9-month child to the first husband Reuven, or is this a 7-month pregnancy child to Shimon? So in all of these situations, there are going to be a number of Yerusha questions and other monetary matters that come up. We'll have many, many cases right now that are going to discuss this. So the Gemara starts off and says, Suffolk, the Suffolk again is this child, that's Suffolk from 9 months from the first husband, 7 months from the second husband, is his father Reuven or is his father Shimon? He's the Suffolk. I'm not going to keep on translating this each time. That's the Suffolk that we're talking about. So now you have the Suffolk, the Yavam, and Shimon. Shimon is the Yavam. Shibol Lachlok B'nichsi Misna. And they're now coming to take the inheritance of Reuven. Reuven died, and now they're dividing up the estate. So if the Suffolk is really the son of Reuven, so he's entitled to 100% of the estate. If the Suffolk is really the child of Shimon, then Shimon's entitled to 100% of the estate. So that's the question that the Gemara says. Suffolk v'yavim shabal lachlok b'nichsi misna. So the Suffolk, the Suffolk child says, I know bar misnu. I'm the son of Reuven. I'm the son of the dead brother. V'nichsi didihu. And the entire estate belongs to me. Whereas Shimon, the Yavim, says, Yavim, am I? No. At Burai Didiat. No, Shimon says to this child, the Suffolk, you're my son. And therefore, I inherited your uncle, Reuven. At Burai Didiat, you are my son. The less loch, the lo midi, the nechse of the mista. And you have no right to anything from Reuven. He's your uncle. And the brother inherits before the nephew. And therefore, havi mamon hamutu b'Suffolk, neither one can prove his point. The Suffolk says that I'm the 100% inheritor of Reuven, he's my father. And the Yavam Shimon says, no, I'm 100% the inheritor, you are my son, he says to the Suffolk. And therefore, this is heavy moment of multiple Suffolk. This is a classic case where neither one has an airtight raya, and there's no hamosi b'chaver all of a raya. This is money that is being in a Suffolk situation, and the rule is, moment of multiple Suffolk, Hulkin, so they divide it up. So in this situation, the Yavam Shimon will take half of the estate, and the Suffolk will take the other half of the estate. Ah, very good. Simple. Next case, Suffolk uvnei Yavam. You have over here the Suffolk and his children that Shimon had, other children that Shimon has. So the Suffolk uvnei Yavam shabal lachok v'nichse misna. And now they're coming to go and divide up the estate of the dead brother of Ruve. So now, each of them has the following taina. The Suffolk says, Suffolk amar, how gabra b'misnu. That person, how gabra, it's a euphemism for himself, I'm the only son of Reuven, and therefore all of Reuven's inheritance comes to me. But the Bnei Yavam, Amre, Shimon must have passed away, and therefore the children of Shimon are inheriting everything that Shimon had, and Shimon inherits the brother through Yibam. So therefore, Bnei Yavam, the other children of Shimon, besides the Suffolk, say, Bnei Yavam, Amre, At Achinuat, you, Suffolk, are one of our brothers. You are the firstborn to Shimon. I'm the secondborn, and the other one says, I'm the thirdborn. So we three divide up the estate, At Achinuat, and therefore, Uminasahu, the Islan Bahadan. And all you get is not the entire estate like you're tining, because you're taina that you're the legitimate son of Reuven, you can't prove. So therefore, you are one of Shimon's sons. So forget Bechor or anything like that. So in this situation, there's three of us. There's you, there's the other son, the second son of Shimon, and the third son of Shimon. So the three of us will divide it up three ways. Now, is this How do we do this? Halacha l'maisa. So Savar Rabbanan kamed the Rav Misharshia. So the rabbi said in front of Rav Misharshia l'meimer, they wanted to say the following. This is a Mishnah. This is Masnisin he. This is a Mishnah that we have on Daf Kuf in this Masechta later on. And it says over there, the Tanan, when you have a situation where you have the Suffolk and there are other children. This isn't the Yibum case. So you have a regular case where Reuven was the first husband. He had multiple children. And then he dies. And his wife Rachel marries Shimon, not a brother, another guy from the Shuk. And she gets pregnant. She didn't wait the Havchana period of time. So now you have this Suffolk child. It's unclear whether Reuven is his father or the totally unrelated other man, Shimon, is his father. And then subsequently, Shimon and Rachel have other children. So now Reuven has multiple children, including the Suffolk possibly, and Shimon has multiple children, including the Suffolk possibly. But the Suffolk is only possibly a son of Reuven and possibly a son of Shimon. Then Reuven dies and Shimon dies. So they have to divide up the Yerusha. So the other brothers of Reuven have the right to tell Reuven, prove to us that you're a son of Reuven, otherwise you get nothing. And Shimon, the other brothers, have a right to say to the Suffolk, prove to us you're a son of Shimon, and then you get something, otherwise you get nothing. So that's what the Mishnah says. The Tanan, who in a Yorish Osam, Vein Yorish Oso. So he doesn't inherit with them, but they inherit him, because they can each claim that you are, in fact, our brother, and we inherit you. So in regards to him, both sides can claim that they inherit him, and they'll split it. But our case is different. Our case over here with the Yibum, it's exactly the opposite. That's what the Talmidim wanted to say in front of Rav Misharsha. In the case, later in the Masechta on Daf Kuf, Hasam Amrilei, each of the sets of brothers, Reuven's other children, can say to the Suffolk, and Shimon's other children can say to the Suffolk, Hasam Amrilei, they tell the Suffolk, I see Raya, bring to us a Raya that you are Reuven's son, or the other brothers say, bring us a Raya that you're Shimon's son, and then Ushkol, then we'll be happy to divide it up. But until you bring a Raya, Moshe Mechaver, all of our Raya. But in our case here with the Yavam, Hocha, Armalahu, so the Suffolk can say to them, I suraya ushkolo, so bring me a raya that you are my brother. Otherwise, I state that I'm in fact the son of Reuven and I should get 100% of the estate. So that's what the Talmidim want to say in front of a Misharsha, that the two cases are different. Armalu Rav Misharsha, Rav Misharsha said, no, me dummy, they're not comparable, they're different. Hasam, in the case of the Mishnah on Daf Kuf, Inu Vadei V'yu Suffolk, the other brothers of Reuven are definitely 100% sons of Reuven, and the Suffolk is a Suffolk. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. And likewise, Shimon's other sons are Vadei sons of Shimon, and the Suffolk maybe is, maybe isn't a son of Shimon. And therefore, that's a situation where they can push him aside. But Hacha, in the case of the Yavam, Yidi V'yidi Suffolk, the child from the Yavam, that first child, he claims that he's Reuven's son and should get the entire inheritance, but he's not. That's not a Vadei, that's a Suffolk. And likewise, he may be a son of Shimon, and he should inherit with all the other brothers. So both sides are a Suffolk. Hocha, idi vidi Suffolk. So what do we do? Ella, idami l'masnisin. If you wanted to compare it to our Mishnah, the following way, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf, the following is the way you'd compare it. Ulaha dami, you compare it in this way. Suffolk, it should be compared to the following scenario. La Suffolk, Uvnei Yavam, you have this Suffolk and the other children that are subsequently born here in the Yibum relationship. Shimon has more children with Rachel after we did Yibum with her, so the Suffolk was born, and we don't know whether the Suffolk is Reuven's child or Shimon's child, but then they have more children. They didn't get divorced, as they should have, and they have more children. So this is analogous to Suffolk Uvnei Yavam. Shabo Lachlok Benichse Yavam Gufei, and they're coming to divide up the properties of the Yavam after Shimon dies, so they're coming now to divide up the properties. And the Hasam Amrilei, in that situation, the sons of Shimon, the other sons of Shimon, can say, I see Raya, Dachuna At Ushkol, bring to us a Raya that you are in fact our brother, and we'll be more than happy to give you a share in Shimon's Yerusha. But you can't. So therefore, this is a Suffolk situation. We're Vadai, the sons of Shimon, so therefore you get nothing. Okay, so therefore it's analogous to the Mishnah on Daf Kuf. Next case, Suffolk, Uvnei Yavam, you have the Suffolk, again, Udnei Yaman, the other children of Shimon, Shabbat Lachluk, Benichse Yavam, they're coming to go and divide up Shimon's estate. Now, this is after the Gemara says, Labasa, the Palag Yavam, Benichse Misna. This is after we had already that Reuven died, and the Suffolk child and Shimon, the Yavam, had split that property because each one was saying, no, the Suffolk said, Reuven was my father. And Shimon said, no, you are my son, Suffolk, and therefore I'm the inheritor. So they had split up Reuven's property. The Suffolk got half, and the Yavam, Shimon, got half. So now, after that was done, Labasa Depalag Yavam and Ichsimisna, after they had split it 50-50, so now Shimon dies. Now, Bnei Yavam Amre, the children, the Vade children of Shimon, they say, I see Raya Dachunaat, they say to the Safek, prove to us that you're in fact the son of Shimon, Ushkol, and then you're entitled to go take a share in the inheritance. But otherwise you get nothing. So what does the Safek say? Amlu Safek. Safek tells the other children of Shimon, Manushaihu, it's a Manushach over here. If I'm really the son of Reuven, then I should have inherited the entire estate from Reuven, not split it 50-50 with your father. If I'm in fact your brother, so then I'm entitled to an equal share in the estate of Shimon. And if I'm not, if you're telling me that I'm not Shimon's son, I'm really Reuven's son, if I'm really the son of Reuven, the dead brother, so then give me back retroactively the half that your father took. If you're telling me I'm not his son, so then he wasn't entitled to get the half that we gave him. I'll suffer. So therefore, that's what the Safek can go tell them. So Rabbi Abba Amar Rav, so Rabbi Abba says the name of Rav, no, too late, Kom Dina. That distribution of Reuven's estate was already done, and it stays that way. So Rabbi Abba, we'll call this Rabbi Abba Shita, in the name of Rav, so he says it's too late, and now we just look at Shimon's estate, the Avim's estate, and they can push aside the Safek. It's too late at this point in time to go back and revisit the din that was finalized on Reuven's estate. Whereas Rabbi Yirmi Amar, no, it's never too late. Hadar Dina. In fact, we can go back and revisit that division of the Yerusha. So the Gemara now wants to suggest Lema Bepluksa the Admon v'Rabbanu Kamiflugi. Let us say that this machlokas between Rabbi Abba and Rav Yirmiya, Kom Dina or Hadar Dina, is actually totally in a machlokas between Admon and the Rabbanu. What is that? That's not, because we have a Mishnah in Ksubos, famous Mishnah. We have a series of machlokas between Admon and the other Rabbanim, and it said, Misha holach l'medina sayam. A person went off to the Medina sayam, v'av d'lo derech sodeyu. And when he returns, he had a field, but everybody around him says that the path that you had to get to your field has now been lost, and you have no way to get to your field. You have to go through other people's property, and since your original path that you had is lost, you're not entitled to anything. So Admon says, no. We know for a fact he had a path, so we give him the least painful path, we give him the shortest path to get to his field, and that's the din. Admon says the guy definitely had a path, so we give him the shortest path possible, and that's the din. So Admon says he didn't lose it, he gets it. Whereas the Chachamim, they argue with Admon, they say, Yikach lo derech b'mei amona. He can purchase with a very, very expensive price a pathway, because they don't have to give it to him. Because each one can say, you didn't have the path in my field, you didn't have the path in my field, you didn't have the path in my field. Or you can take a helicopter, or Yifrach B'Yavir. Or every time you want to go to your field, you get into a helicopter, and Yifrach B'Yavir, fly in the air to go and get to your field. So this is the machlokas, Admon and the Chachamim. So we want to now align this and say, this is the same machlokas between Rabbi Abba Amar Rav and Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbanan, we asked over there, according to the Rabbanan, Shapir Koma the Admon. The Rabbanan can very, very properly tell Admon, listen, each of the people in the surrounding field can say, you didn't have a path in my field, so prove to me that you had a path in my field, and then you get it. So Rabbi Yirmiya Rav said, no. You know what the case was? The reason why you can't say anything in that situation is because four separate people are now in the surrounding four fields. And each one can say, it's not in my field, it's not in my field. And the Gemara says, that's what the Chacham told Admon. If that's true, so my time with the Admon. Then Admon really has no time at all. Why would they be able to force him to give the shortest route to get to his field? Each one can say, this wasn't my field. The root wasn't in my field. So Rava said, in a situation where the four current owners of the four surrounding fields were originally, each of them purchased their field from a separate owner. So the original four separate owners, so only one of them actually had the field in them, but Hamotzi Mechaver, all right, proved to us that it was our field. Or the Arbaa, the Osu Mikoch Echod, or now the four people all came from one person who had the four fields surrounding this field, the guy that went to the Medina Sayam, and now each of them can say, that prove to me that it's in my field, and then you get it. So in this situation, there is no machlokas admon lechacham. Kuli amalo plige de matzu matchile. They can push him aside, because after all, each one can say, it's not in my field. So where's the machlokas admon and the chachamim keep legay b'chad diyasim mikoach arba? It's when we're dealing now with one person who comes when the koach of all four of the previous owners. One guy bought up the four surrounding properties that were bought from four different owners. So in this situation, admon sovar motzi amale. So the person who had the original field there and now doesn't have a way to get to it can say to them, listen, mikol mokom daki gabochu. I definitely had one of your four fields rights in it. So it's only fair that you should give me the derech kitzara. Whereas the Rabbanan Sabre, that this person who now owns all four of the surrounding fields can say, if you're quiet, so then it's good. And the way Rashi understands this is, I'll sell to you a path for a nominal fee. But the Tosus Shishonim says, no, the Tikneu, Mimani, Yoker. No, you'll pay an arm and a leg for it. But if you're quiet, then fine, I will sell it to you for a high price. However, be low. If you're not quiet, you're making a big deal out of this, so you know what I'm going to do? Madrino shtar lo marayu. I'm going to give back the four fields to the four original owners, and you'll get nothing. And you'll be able to go with each of them, because each of them can legitimately say, it's not in my yard, it's not in my field that you had access. So the Gemara wants to say, let us say, lema Rabbi Abba, his opinion that Kom Dina is the Amar Rabbanan. He owns like the Rabbanan, that we don't go and revisit it. Rabbi Yirmiyah, he could say the Amar Kiadmo, that we say no, Chazar Dina. So let us say this is what they're arguing about. So both the Rabbi Abba Amar Rav and Rabbi Yirmiyah each don't want to be pushed into only holding like one of the two. So Amalach Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, I know my Shita, the Amrei Afilu Kiadmon. I'm not only going like the Chachamim, but I could even go like the Shita of Admon, that the person's entitled to having a path from one of the four. Because Ad Kan Lo Komar Admon Hossam, the only reason why Admon said over there is because El Mishum Domele Mimarashach, he can say, Mimarashach, I have definitely a field. I have the right to get to my field through one of your paths. So therefore, that's why Admon said it in that situation. We turn to Lam Chesed and Aleph, therefore, Darki Chad Gabachu, I definitely have a path in one of your fields. However, Avahacha, in the case of the Yavam, no, the Safek, Avahacha, Mika Lemei Marhachi, who says that it is such a Vadai claim like it was with Admon? Here, the Safek is really a Safek situation. Maybe he is entitled, maybe he's not. So therefore, it's a Safek, and it's not a Vadai like it was with Admon. So therefore, Admon says this case there, but Lav Davka would Admon disagree with me over here. And likewise, Rav Yirmiyah would also say the same. I can even hold, not only like Admon, but I know at the Ami Afil Rabbanan. I can even hold like the Rabbanan that say, no, you're not entitled to anything over there, because Ad Kan Lo Kamar Rabbanan Hasam in that situation with the field. So here, Rav Yirmiyah would say that Ad Kan Lo Kamre Rabbanan Hasam. The rabbis only said it over there. El Mishum Da Amalei Isha Sakta Shasakta. If you're quiet, then you'll get something. But Vilo, if you're not going to be quiet, Madrina Shtar Lo Marayu. I can go return everything to the original owners, and you'll get nothing. And you won't be able to go and make a legitimate Beis Din claim against him. But here, it's not the same thing in the case of the Yavam. And therefore, you can't say this. You can't go return it, so to say, to the original way that it was. And therefore, Lav Dafka, we're lining up Rav Abba and Rav Yirmiyah as being in accord with the machlokis of Admon and Chacham. Each one could hold like both. Okay, we continue giving another case. Gemara says, Sofek v'Yavam, if you have the Sofek and the father, Yavam Shimon, Shabo Lachok Benisli Saba. Now they're going to inherit the grandfather. That's the Sofek's grandfather and the father of Shimon. So Sofek, Amar, the Sofek says, Hi Gabra Bamisnu, I'm the son of Reuben, and therefore I'm entitled to get half the Yerusha from the grandfather, because I'm inheriting in place of my father, so I'm the equivalent of Reuben. Reuben gets half, and Shimon gets half. Again, we're leaving Bechor out of the equation over here. So the Sofek says, Hi Gabra Bamisnu, I'm the son of the dead Reuben, Upago Didihu, and I get half the estate of the grandfather. Whereas the Yavam Amar, At Birai Didi At, you are my son, and therefore, less Lomidi, you have no share in the grandfather's estate, because you're not a son. And Heve Yavam Vadai V'Sofek Sofek, so in this situation, Shimon is definitely entitled as a son, and the Yavam is only a Sofek, maybe he is, maybe he isn't, inheriting in place of Reuven, and therefore, in Sofek, Motsmidi Vadai. So in this situation, the Yavam gets everything, and the Sofek doesn't get anything. In Sofek, Motsmidi Vadai, Hamotsmichir, Olvariah. Next case, Sofek, Venevi Yavam Shabal, Lachlok, Venevi Saba. You have the Sofek and the children of Shimon going to inherit the grandfather. Now, Sofek, on my other Sofek, says, How Gavra Bar Misnu? I'm really the son of Reuven. Upagu Didihu. And I should get half of the estate of our grandfather inheriting in the place of Reuven. And the Bnei Yavim say, No, you're a brother with us. You are a son of Shimon. And therefore, we split the estate. Let's say there are three sons. We'll split it three ways. Again, leaving Bechor out of the question. So you, Sofek, get a third. The first other son of Shimon gets another third, and the second other son of Shimon gets the other third. You're our brother. And you should get an equal share with us. So how do we evaluate this? So the half of the estate that the Safek admits isn't his. He says, I should get half the estate. So half of the estate goes to the other brothers. That's his own moda. He says, I agree. I'm only entitled to half of the estate. So the other half certainly goes to the brothers. And likewise, the Tilsu, the Komodu, Lay, the brothers, they say you're entitled to a third of the estate. Shaka, you get that. So therefore, what's left after you take a half of the estate, that's 3/6. And after you take a third of the estate, that's 2/6. So you have 1/6 left. Pashlu danka, there's 1/6 left, so they split that. So the Suffolk will get half of that 1/6, and the other two brothers of Shimon will get each a quarter of that 1/6. They'll split between them the other half of the 1/6. Finally, the last two cases, Sova v'yavam b'nichse Suffolk. You have the grandfather, Yaakov, and his son, the Yavam, Shimon, the Nirsei Safek, the Nebuch, the Safek dies. So the inheritance goes up to the father. If there are no children, so the inheritance goes back up to the father. So the Yavam says, he's my son, and therefore his inheritance goes totally to me. The grandfather says, no, he's really the son of Reuven, and therefore the inheritance goes up to me. O Sabo, the Safek, the Nirsei Yavam. Or likewise, it could be the Sava, the grandfather Yaakov, the Safek, and the Safek dealing with the Nirsei Yavam, with Shimon. So the Safek says, I'm the son of Shimon in this situation. He claims he's the Yavam's son, and therefore he inherits ahead of the grandfather, where the grandfather says, no, you're really the son of Reuven, and therefore you're not entitled at all to get anything. So in these two situations, the Sava of the Yavam b'nichse Safek, or Sava of the Safek b'nichse Yavam, there's no way to prove either one. Heavy moment of multiple Safek, this is going to be money that is impossible to determine, and there's no Hamotzi b'chaver olav araya. It's moment that's just lying there, unable to be decided, and therefore v'cholkin, and it's divided evenly between the two of them in these two scenarios, either the grandfather and Shimon in the first case, and respectively the grandfather and the Suffolk in the second case. That was a lot. She went a little bit over, but Baruch Hashem, we are now almost done with Lamed Ches Amud Aleph as well, and that will help us going forward with Pesach. With this, we conclude today's shiur.